You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was delivered by the Reverend Wallace Schultz. We hope you enjoy his message titled, A Time for Everything. And now here's Reverend Schultz.
Several months ago, Business Week magazine, in its review section, featured a very provocative book. Two senior executives decided to find out what people today really believe and how they honestly feel. Researchers used a 1,800-question survey, and this was followed up by interviews. After closely analyzing the data, they published the good, the bad, and the ugly facts in a book called The Day America Told the Truth, What People Really Believe About Everything That Really Matters. The reviewer of this book makes the devastating observation that this book offers plenty of evidence that Americans are materialistic and shallow to the core. So money-minded are Americans today that over a quarter of the population is willing to openly confess that for the right amount of money, they would be willing to abandon their own family. 23% said they would sell their bodies. They would become a prostitute for a week if the price was right. Today, we often see featured news stories on how benevolent and sacrificing the American public is. But the naked truth is this. Over 33% of all Americans have never, that's correct, one-third of all Americans have never contributed one nickel to any charitable organization whatsoever. Now, this is not a very positive commentary on our society. And when we are confronted with these sobering social statistics, it is easy for us to sit back and with a self-righteous, pharisaical attitude exclaim, "Sinners! Sinners! These people are shameful sinners. They should be like us," we say. "Why are they so worldly and so ungodly?" Let's first stop, shall we, and think things over for a moment. The more God-pleasing thing for us to do would be for you and for me to admit that we, too, are sinners. We are not sinners because we sin occasionally. The Bible teaches that we are by nature sinful. And so, realizing this fundamental teaching of the sacred scriptures, we then, instead of swelling ourselves even more with sinful pride, we need to listen with repentant hearts to the admonishing words of our Lord. In the Bible, in our text for today, Ephesians chapter 5, we read, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because," the Bible says, "the days are evil." The Bible then continues, "Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." These are weighty words from God. They cut deep into our ego. And these words sting like antiseptic as they pierce our sin-infected hearts. In our text for today, we read, "Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise men, making the most of your time, for the day is evil." And when we hear that expression, "the days are evil," we may say to ourselves, "Yes, well, that was years ago." This is not the case today. Now, this may be what we would like to think about our present generation, but if we are willing to open our eyes and recognize the vast and fundamental changes that are now rapidly taking place in the basic morality of our nation, we would probably have to reluctantly agree that evil, the lust for money, the greed for materialism, and the unbridled sex with all of its most perverted types is surely now running rampant. For example, last month, Time magazine stated that this year Americans will spend an estimated $278 billion. That's not millions. That's $278 billion on gambling, including everything from state-run lotteries to church-run bingo, so states Time magazine. After citing statistics of sports betting, wagering, casinos, and bookmaking, this well-researched article makes an alarming observation. This author writes that even though these figures indeed reflect the billions thrown away every day on gambling, he says, these figures underestimate the magnitude of the rapidly spreading gambling fever. The Apostle Paul, in our text for today, out of love and concern, told his people of his day to be careful how they walked in life. The times were evil, the Apostle said. You see, in those days, the devil was snaring even those who felt that they were secure. And this is also what we are now experiencing in our society. There are many people today who think that they can play games with the devil, but they are only risking their own soul. The devil is so clever, and he has conned so many people to do his bidding, that what was once considered wrong, evil, and even abhorrent is now considered permissible and even socially acceptable. All sin, you see, eventually works like prostitution. First it is considered wrong, then after it is practiced for a while it becomes acceptable and no one really cares anymore. And it is because some sins become so socially acceptable that they are so damnably dangerous to the soul. Our response to the onslaughts of this evil one, if our response is going to be effective, is going to have to be in line with the Word of God. Don't be foolish, the Apostle Paul writes, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. What then is God's will in our generation? That's a good question. God's will is that we would get to know Him, not on our own terms, but on His terms. And this happens when we, by faith, turn away from the world and all of its lusts, and in sincere repentance, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God's will is active in our life when our entire being is totally transformed by the cleansing and the healing power of His Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." In every generation, it is always difficult for even the most dedicated and consecrated individuals to remain strong and not to be swept along with the sin tides of this world, but rather to try to do the will of God. Because you see, when we in our own minds are challenged to do something or to live a certain way, we immediately think that this is going to be accomplished through the power that we can generate internally. But this is not true. No, the power that you and I need is the power of Christ and His resurrection. And if you and I are going to receive that power and that special holiness and righteousness of God, then we are first going to have to, through sincere repentance and faith, empty ourselves completely of all of our sinful self-righteousness. Then, yes, then, and only then, can we expect these special blessings of God and the protection of God from even the most cunning tricks of the devil in these evil days. Anyone today who sincerely desires to know the will of God should read the humble and soul-stirring confession of that great missionary and evangelist, St. Paul. Listen as this humble servant of God pours out his heart in a moving testimony of faith. In his inspired letter to the Christians in Philippi, St. Paul writes, "I was born from the people of Israel. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was a member of the tribe of Benjamin. I was, in fact," Paul said, "a full Jew. As far as keeping the law was concerned, I was a Pharisee. And you can judge my enthusiasm for the Jewish faith by my active persecution of the church. Now," he said, "as far as the law of righteousness is concerned, I don't think anyone could have found fault with me. But once I was converted," the Apostle Paul confessed, "once I experienced the transforming power of Christ, then I looked upon everything as loss compared with the overwhelming gain of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord." St. Paul testified, "For Christ's sake, I suffered the loss of everything, and I considered this all as just rubbish compared with being able to win Christ. For now my new life is in Christ. I am no longer dependent upon any of the self-achieved righteousness of the law. Now God, by grace, has given me the genuine righteousness which comes from faith in Christ. How changed," St. Paul confessed, "are my ambitions now. And now, of course, some of you may be thinking to yourself, yes, but how does what St. Paul writes about, the righteousness of Christ, how does this relate to the evil of our society? It relates very simply. It fits like this. Many of us may not be gamblers or drinkers. Thus, we may lead ourselves to believe that we are, by our own self-righteousness, acceptable to God. No way is this true. You and I are only acceptable to God when we are emptied. Yes, when we repent of all our self-righteousness, and then when we possess the perfect righteousness of Christ. This is what St. Paul had. Not the righteousness of his own, but the perfect righteousness of the crucified Christ. No wonder he then confesses, I don't want anything else in the world but to possess Christ. I long to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now I long to share his suffering, even to die as he died, so that I may perhaps attain, as he did, the resurrection from the dead. Now we have just heard the confession of a man who looked at the world with all of its lusts, and a man who then compared this with all the blessings that come through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no comparison, he said. Every advantage I had gained, I considered lost for Christ. And so then, to those of you listening today, as you also consider the lust of the lottery and the strong temptation to follow the crowd, always remember God's word of warning. Make the most of your time, for the days are evil. But instead of merely looking at life in a negative way, consider the other way, especially the gracious words of our Lord when he said, Do not be foolish. Understand what the good and gracious will of God is. It is the will of God, my friend. Yes, it is the desire of God that you would turn away from all the wicked temptations of this world and turn unto Jesus. It is also the will of God that you would not seek refuge and hope in your own self-righteousness, but in the perfect righteousness of the crucified Christ. Don't hesitate. Do it today. Confess to God your sin of lusting for the things of this world more than desiring the things of Christ and his righteousness. Pray with perfect confidence that God in his grace will take you back into his arms of forgiveness and mercy, and that he, God, on account of Christ's perfect work and because of your faith, will declare you righteous in his sight. Forget your past. Leave your mistakes behind. Trust no more in your own self-righteousness, and instead, throw yourself completely on the mercy of Christ, and then with the Apostle Paul say, I do not consider myself as having arrived, nor do I consider myself already perfect, but I keep going on. I leave the past behind, and with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, I go straight to the goal, my Lord Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, we pray, grant this hope, this joy, this faith, this courage unto all who are listening today. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.